Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
The national dish of Korea is a spicy pickled salad called kimchi. It's known for its peppery flavor and distinct pungent aroma. It's an acquired taste for some, an obsession for others, who credit kimchi with improving health and the environment. Living on Earth's Ike Sriskanjaraja got a taste at Boston's first kimchi cook-off.
I like my kimchi to be very spicy, very garlicky.
I have this spicy throat.
But, you know, it's requires some fortitude.
It's not for the faint of palate, but as this bustling hall in Theodore Parker Church in Roxbury demonstrates, foodies of all sorts go crazy for kimchi.
My name is Alex Lewin. I'm one of the co-organizers of the Kimchi Festival, and I'm one of the judges. If you open one jar of kimchi in a room, the whole room smells like kimchi, and if you open, we probably have 25 jars of kimchi in here. Yeah, it's sort of sensory pandemonium.
The base of most kimchi concoctions contains pickled cabbage and chili pepper paste with a mixture of vegetables, scallions, radish, ginger, and garlic. Non-traditional entries in the kimchi off experiment with cranberries, honey, and bits of chocolate. Armed with the clipboard and palate-cleansing barley tea, Lewin weaves through the crowd, tasting the 24 contest entries.
You know, and we have in our heads a list of qualities of good kimchi, the right amount of saltiness. You know, there's a wider range for sourness. You can have a younger kimchi that's not as sour, or a more fermented one that's more sour. You want it to be crunchy. You don't really want it to be too soggy.
The smell, it's a smell of life.
Cora Roloffs, who conceived the festival, sports a traditional Korean coat.
So I'm wearing what's called a hanbro. It has actually kimchi pots on the bottom of it, decorative kimchi pots.
The small blonde lady, festooned in fermentation vessels, is not out of place among the cult-like devotees here today. Kimchi whips up such fervor, not only for its flavors, but, as Roloff puts it, for
the wonderful delights of fermented food and their health and life-giving properties. So
kimchi has been championed as one of the world's healthiest foods. Researchers have suggested it boosts immunity to the SARS virus, and a nutritionist working on erectile dysfunction recommends it over Viagra.
One of them turns around, right?
You don't have to look far to witness kimchi's nutritional power. Martial artist Ing Guang Zhang pops a hunk of orange cabbage into his mouth, flexes for the audience, and prepares to leap over a line of girls to break a wooden board.
The girl's covering her head.
Do you think that kimchi made you stronger?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I have eaten maybe over 30 years. Yeah.
And it's not just healthy. Local farmer and kimchi contestant Greg Maslow says preserving food is key to sustainable living.
Anytime you can get people thinking about making their own food and preserving food, it has a lot of environmental implications. For example, with kimchi or sauerkraut, it's a way to extend the season of eating local, and you'd be able to ferment food and keep it all the way through until the next year at some point.
The art of fermentation is one of the oldest, easiest ways to preserve food. For over 3,000 years, Koreans have been chopping up spices and vegetables and burying them in stone clay pots. No electricity or preservatives, just a jar and some patience. But while anyone can make a kimchi, the perfect kimchi is a thing worth celebrating.
Best Kimchi in Show for the first annual Greater Boston Kimchi Festival goes to Patricia Yu for her radish kimchi.
What do you think is the secret to the winning kimchi?
I used whole radishes. I'm not sure what the secret to the whole kimchi was. I really don't know.
The mystery may continue to elude us, but there's no shortage of aficionados trying to unlock the secret to kimchi. And for its health and ecological benefits, many are singing its praises.
Kimchi, how I love you, how I love you, my tasty kimchi.
For Living on Earth, I'm Ike Sriskanjaraja.
On the next Living on Earth, we travel with reporter Alex Chadwick to Central Africa's Congo Basin for a look at efforts to save the carbon-rich forest.
It's like nature's Disneyland. We recorded this near what had been a small cluster of Baka people, pygmies. They've abandoned this site or been chased away. We're in a forest space they had cleared for a shrine. We're staying quiet, recording. It's dawn. There are many ideas about what to do with all this forest.
If I were the head of state in this country, I would have advocated strongly to continue to destroy the forest.
A government official in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. We'd spoken to him about this forest several days earlier.
Who are destroying the forest in Cameroon? Europeans. Americans.
The timber companies.
Yeah, the timber companies. You see, you have to keep in mind one thing. You, American, the most richest country on earth, the most powerful country on earth, you used to have a lot of forests in your own cities and country. Where is your forest? You destroy it. Now you come in Cameroon and you say, oh, guy, stop destroying the forest. Then why? Why don't you want us to destroy our own forest to do the same thing you did?
Issa Kroma Bakari, Minister of Communication and skilled at it. The cut-it-down rant, a caricature, he says. But what lies behind it, poverty, need, isolation, crippled lives, those are real, and especially in forest communities.
Saving Africa's Great Forest, next time on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Jessica Elise Smith, Ike Sriskanjaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Sousa. Our interns are Emily Guerin and Bridget McDonald. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve a chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. On the web at PaxWorld.com. Pax World, for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.